That's who we look to, and always look to Him. Prayer, look to Him in the Scriptures, look to Him in prayer. Try by God's grace to point other people to look to Him too. Look to Him too. I've titled my message this evening, Things to Come. Things to Come. Our Lord Jesus, and there's a vast, vast difference in the way men look at things, the natural man look at things, most people look at things, and the way the Lord Jesus views things. You know, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. Vast, vast difference between the way God thinks and our Lord Jesus looks at things and the way the natural man looks at things. And they often misunderstood when they was talking to our Lord that they were just talking to a man and that He would be easily impressed with what men did. You remember when a lot of them believed on Him after He'd done so many miracles. But He would not commit Himself to men because He knew what was in man. Didn't anybody need anybody to testify of man? Didn't He tell them how bad they was or how good they was or what they'd done or what they hadn't done? He knew men. He knew them inside and out. He knew everything about them. And so, you see, and that's what people think, then when they view our Lord, they think He's going to be like them. But He's not. And our Lord Jesus has a way of looking at things, and I pray it's our desire. May God make it so for us to be able to look at things as the way our Lord Jesus did. Look at it from a spiritual viewpoint. Look at it from the viewpoint of a believer, one following our Master. And here's how the world looks at things in verse 5. And he had just been in the temple watching everybody throw all their money and all their treasures into the offering boxes. 13 of them there, big bowl boxes, and then people throw them in, and all the wealthy people coming there. And oh my, so he's leaving the temple, and as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. They're telling him, oh, what a beautiful building we got. What do you think about this temple? Solomon's temple here. Look at it. Go look at all these beautiful stones that's been put in it. Look at all these gifts that people have given to beautify it. The money that they brought in for us to do this part on it and that part on it. And they had there's like people today, you go to build a building, we'll sell you a brick. You give $1,000, we'll give you a brick with your name on it. Give us $10,000, we'll give you a dozen bricks with your name. And that's what this was. They're showing it. Look at this beautiful building. Look at all the courtyards. Look at all the stones. Look at all the gifts that all the people. I was in a church one time in a building. I shouldn't say church. We've got to learn how to say, distinguish between church and building. I was in a building one time. And we went down in the basement, and all you saw on the wall was all these people that had donated stuff to that church. All the money they'd give them and how esteemed they were. Picture after picture after picture after picture. And what all they've done and all that. That's what they're telling our Lord here. Look at all that's been done. Ain't this the finest thing that ever was? No temple on the face of the earth is like the one we've got here. But they bragged on its beauty and was not concerned whether God was there or not.
That's right.
The temple was where God was supposed to meet men. The temple was where God was supposed to dwell. They did not mention the worship of God. They were impressed with the building, impressed with the natural, impressed with the material things, impressed with the gifts. But look how our Lord's view of it is. As for these things which you behold, the things you look at, the things you behold and you have a great interest in. Now watch this. The days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Go ahead and brag on it. Go ahead and glory in it. Go ahead and behold it. He said, but I'm going to tear it all down. It's going to ever get me torn down. Every building that everybody has ever built, and that temple in Jerusalem no longer stands. It's gone. All of its glory is gone. Its form of worship's gone. The covenant is gone. The ark is gone. The veil is gone. Every bit of it, just like our Lord, they took the stones and tore them down one at a time. And that's the way everything in this world is going to be. Our homes, your homes, everything about us is coming down. That's what our Lord said. So the things that you behold, they're temporary. They're just temporary. Oh my, but the building, and I'll tell you, beloved, a building, God doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. You know who the building of God, where God dwells? You keep this. Let me show you in Ephesians chapter 2. I'll show you where God dwells. I'll show you where the church is at. And we really do need to learn to talk about the, let's go to the meeting house. Let's go to the church, call it a church building, call it a chapel, call it the building. But the church is people.
Amen.
The church is people. That's what they made us do, this temple. Call it the church building, but the church itself is made up of people, and that's where God dwells. God dwells in people. And look what it says here in verse 19 of Ephesians 2. Now therefore you no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and you're of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles. What's that foundation? The foundation they laid, which is Christ. Their teachings, their doctrine, and the prophets. And who did they build on? Where did they start at? They started out with Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together, just putting the building together, start with the foundation, Christ the cornerstone. God begins to build a building, frames it together unto a holy temple. You won't see the temple that God glories in, the temple that God blesses, the temple that God praises and blesses His holy name. It's people in whom you also are building together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Huh? We're a holy temple sitting here right now. Don't feel like it to you. But that's what God said about it. That's what God said about it. Now look what He says here in verse 7. Back over in Luke 21. They ask Him two questions. Two questions. And all everything that from here on is answering these two questions. And they ask Him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? Two good questions. And His disciples asking Him. First, they want to know when are these things going to happen. And what sign is we going to see that when this will happen, when it's going to come to pass? You see, they believed His words. They said, when's it going to happen? They didn't have a doubt that it wasn't going to happen. When's it going to happen? And how are we going to tell when it's going to happen? And that's a good way. What are we going to look for when it's going to happen? And so you see, beloved, so what are the signs? And our Lord Jesus, He started talking about the signs. What signs will you give us? When shall these things be? When all these things shall come to pass. And the first thing He told them, He gave them a warning. Take heed that you be not deceived. That's the first warning. Don't let nobody deceive you. He said, here's why. It's because there's going to be many shall come in My name. They're going to come in My name, the name of Christ, the name of the Messiah, the name of Savior, the name of one who can answer all your problems and take care of all your needs. And they're even going to go so far as to say, I am. Just like the one who spoke on the burning bush and said, I am, that told Moses to go down and let My people go. They'll come and say, I am. I am. Multitudes. And how many did they do that? I mean, right now. And I don't know how many done it during the times of Christ and before Christ and after Christ. And right now, there's no telling how many people are in Jerusalem or in Israel right now who claim to be the Messiah come to set Israel free. There's a bunch of them over there walking around long robes with long hair because they're trying to fit the picture that they see the people hung on their walls saying that they're Jesus and they come to set Israel free. They're Yahweh's son. And oh, beloved, the first thing he says, don't be deceived. And how many false prophets and false Christs has come into this world? How many false prophets and false Christs are in this world today? How many false prophets and false Christs are deceiving people now? And that's why we must be established in the faith, established in the truth, so that when they come along, and they come with signs and lying wonders, that we won't be led astray and be deceived. And oh, look what he says now. Here's another sign that's going to happen. First thing, don't you be deceived. Don't you dare be deceived. Don't do it. Don't let anybody take you away from me. And then when you shall hear of wars and commotions, don't you be afraid. Don't be terrified. For these things must first come to pass. And you know, he's just telling us here what the human race does to one another, what sin does to one another, what the fruit of sin does to one another, what happens when man is left to his own devices. There will be wars and commotions. Don't you be afraid of. Don't let them terrify you. And how many wars are going on right now? How many commotions are going on? How many threatenings are going on? And everybody saying stop, and others saying go. A lot of people say throw up the white flag, and another say no, raise up two more flags. So you know everybody's in a commotion over what's going on. And they're always in a commotion over wars and rumors of wars. Don't let these things terrify you. For these things must first come. But the end ain't even close. Not, it's not here by and by. No, don't be terrified. And I tell you something, you know when wars are going to stop? Look in Isaiah 2 with me just a moment. When Christ comes again, all wars shall cease. Look here in Isaiah 2. When Christ comes, that's when wars shall cease. As long as there are going to be two people on the face of the earth, they're going to fight. They're going to fight. Ladies tell me today, she said, you know, her house burnt down a couple weeks ago, and she said, I can understand why people get divorces whenever they start trying to rebuild and husbands and wives working together. You know, she said, it's not meant for husbands and wives to work together, especially building a house. So if there's two people, it's the hardest thing you've ever done to find two people that's just exactly alike. Ain't that right? Cain and Abel come from the same womb. One killed the other. And as long as there are going to be two people on this earth, they're going to find something to fight about. Commotion. And that's what he said, don't be fine. And that's what the result of sin is. Look what he said here in Isaiah 2 and verse 4. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. No more weapons of war when Christ comes. Now back over here again. In verse 10 he says, then nation shall rise against nation. And this is all just, our Lord's just telling us, this is what's going to happen. This is the way men are. Nation shall rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. Men wants to take one nation and conquer it, and one kingdom and conquer it, and one to conquer. Everybody wants everybody to be under subjection to them. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places. Famines and pestilence. And but famines and pestilence is the consequences of war. When you have a place where there's lots and lots of war, after a while there's famine. After a while there's pestilence. After a while there's all kinds of horrible things that happen to places where there's just war over and over and over. And great earthquakes. And when that happens, there's famines and pestilence. And fearful sights. Fearful sights. You see sights that are fearful. You see sights now that are fearful sights. Fearful sights, troubling sights. Scary sights. I was watching one of the newscasters, and they showed where they showed this 2-year-old baby out of a window. 4 stories high, did you see? And they caught that baby right in the midair. Newscaster was doing that, and she's calling. They showed the picture. She had to drop her head and start about crying. She said, I can't look at that. It's too fearful. But we see that. That's what he's saying. This thing's going to happen. It's going to be fearful. Fearful sights. Earthquakes are fearful sights. They planned the World Series back in the 80s, and they was playing out in San Francisco, and they had one of the worst earthquakes out there that tore the freeway system all to pieces while the World Series was going on. People scared to death. Fearful things. Great signs shall there be from... And these, you know what, when it talks about great signs from heaven, these means that God sends these things. That God is the one that sends these fearful things. That God gives us signs to warn us and rebuke us and instruct us and gives us providence to make us aware of what's going on around us. Oh my. And then look what he gives predictions now about his own disciples in verse 12. But before all these things, now I'm talking to you, what's going to happen right now? He said, he's talking to his disciples, but before these things start happening, you know what's going to happen to you? And this happened to every one of his apostles. This happened to Silas, Paul, Barnabas, Philip, lots and lots and lots of them. They'll lay hands on you, persecute you. They did it on the day of Pentecost, and remember how many times they were persecuted through the book of Acts, called in front of kings and rulers, governors and all that. They'll lay hands on you. And how many they lay hands on them and get them out of jail and go lay hands on them again? For anything ever happens, they're going to lay hands on you. They're going to deliver you up to the synagogues. They're going to have the Jews come and set in judgment. Then they're going to put you in prison. Then you're going to be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. You know, our Lord doesn't prophesy smooth things for His people. He didn't do like this much today. Name it and claim it. It's God's will for you to be healthy, happy, and prosperous. If you had the faith, you could get anything you wanted from God. Huh? Oh my, he didn't prophesy good things to these folks. Remember when he told Paul, the first thing he told Paul? The great things that you must suffer for my name's sake.
Yes, sir.
They beat them and let them go. And they went away from there rejoicing that they were counted worthy. They remembered what our Lord said. Huh? And then look what it says here. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Now, who's going to be a testimony for? Going to be a testimony for the glory of God, and God Himself is going to testify of them. And let me show you what I mean. Look over at Hebrews chapter 11 just a moment. You remember in Hebrews 11? Every one of these men are bearing the testimony of God Himself. God testifying of their gifts. God testifying of their grace. God testifying of how He blessed them. And how they had faith and trusted Him. And He said, that's what, when you stand before them, all these things will turn for you for a testimony against them and for my glory, and I'll testify to you. Look what it said. I'm going to start reading here in verse 37. All the things that happened. You could go through this yourself. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And David, he dwelt in a den and in a cave for several years, running from Saul. And these all having attained good report through faith, receive not the promise. Oh, you see, beloved, God bore testimony. They suffered, and God said, you'll suffer, but it'll just be a testimony for you, a testimony for God. And that's what he says in verse 14 over here then. He says, so settle it therefore in your hearts. Just settle it in your hearts. Don't try to figure out what you're going to say. Don't meditate how you're going to answer. Don't worry about what you're going to say. And you go down through history and you look at some of the things that men have said when they were facing death, when they were facing persecution for Christ. And it was Bishop Ridley. I told you this the other day. They was taking him down the river in a boat to be burned at the stake. Big storm come up. Those fellas that was taking him down the river, they thought, boy, we're going to drown. We're going to, we're not going to get through this storm. And old Ridley said, Bishop Ridley ain't going to drown because he's got to be burned at the stake to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he calmed those fellas down. Because that's, ain't that something? Huh? Time and time and time and time again. And on, and then he says, so settle it in your heart. Don't try to figure out what you're going to say.
No.
For I will. Now watch this. I'll give you a mouth and I'll give you wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Look at how they answered the rulers when they brought them in and talked to them and brought them in and beat them and persecuted them. Look at how Paul answered his accusers when they brought him before him three times. Look how he answered Agrippa and Festus and Felix. Oh, how he answered them. How he answered them. So, he gives, he warns his children. And then watch this. And ye shall be betrayed by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. Oh, our Lord says it wasn't just if it my enemy has done this, but it's my friend that lifted up his heel against me. And look at the blind man that the Lord gave him his sight. His parents turned against him. And my brethren in them, they'll say, oh no, I can't believe this. I'm not going to go along with it. I'm not going to go along with your religion. And some of them will cause you to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But now watch this. Look at this promise he gives to him. Look at the promise he gives to him here in verse 18. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. They may put you to death. They may take you and persecute you, put you in prison. But he says, not a hair of your head. Not what he's telling you is figurative language. There's no danger at all of you losing your soul. There's no danger at all of you losing anything. Then he says, down to the minutest thing of concerning your hair. He said, you're not going to perish for it. You may not go through it perfect, but I guarantee you that you'll not perish for it. I care, not a hair of your head. If they put you to death, if they put you in prison, whatever happens, I'll see to it that you're brought through it.
Amen.
Whole and complete and perfect. That's what he's telling us here. And then he'll look at these signs, the coming judgment upon the Jews in Jerusalem. And this happened. This happened 70 A.D., about 30, 40 years after our Lord was crucified. And he says, and when you shall see Jerusalem, Jerusalem, compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. The Roman army surrounded Jerusalem. When you see that, Jerusalem and everything about it, desolation is coming. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. When you see that army coming, get out of there just as fast as you can. If you're down in the city, get out of there. And if you're not there, don't you dare go back inside. Now watch this. For these be the days of vengeance.
Right.
Whose vengeance? God's vengeance. He said, let His blood be upon us and let it be upon our children. If they done this in a green tree, what will they do in a dry?
That's right.
For these be the days of vengeance that all things which are written may be fulfilled. I'll scatter you. I'll make your name to be a hissing. I'll make your name to be a derision. I'll bring you to nothing. And I'll make you to be nobody. And this is what happens to them. Christ, this is the vengeance of God coming on those people. And the vengeance of God's going to come on a multitude of people. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. It'll be awful if you have to be traveling with a child, getting out of there with a child. Have a baby on your breast trying to get out of there. And there'll be great distress in the land. Great distress. People will be worried. There was a time that they set a siege on Jerusalem and people were eating their own children. You remember reading that in Kings? They ate their own children. They say, we'll eat yours today and we'll eat mine tomorrow.
Yeah. That's
how bad it got. Had to be an awful way to do. But the nations that forget God, you forget God. Forget God, and God Almighty is just not to be. And I'll tell you what's going to be worse than that. What's going to be worse than that is for people that had every advantage that they could possibly have and never availed themselves of.
Come on, God.
That's what's going to be horrible. James was just telling me about a friend of his that had a heart transplant, 54 years old, gave him a new heart down in Atlanta. Heart beating, sitting up, strained, walking, good shape. Got a young person's heart. But he said he never mentioned the Lord, never mentioned giving thanks to God. God gave him a heart. But you know, it's not the natural heart that's our problem. It's the sinful heart. We need a new one. And oh my. And so that's why great distress will be in the land. Wrath upon the people. And you know, we think when God puts wrath upon people that He comes with and just lets out all hell break loose. But you know, He puts wrath on people by giving them the leaders they have. He puts wrath, He manifests His wrath on people by the religious leaders that they follow. That's God giving people up. A lot of people say the judgment of God will come upon homosexuals. Being a homosexual is the judgment of God. Not going to be, it is. It's reprobation. And when people forget God and don't consider God, don't consider what's right, true, just, and holy, and not principled, with no integrity, with no morality, with no scruples, then I tell you what, the wrath of God comes in lots and lots of forms.
Reformation.
Yeah. If the foundations be destroyed, what in the world are righteous going to do? We're going to do just like, I'm not terrified by these wars. Not terrified by kingdoms. But oh my soul, but I am concerned about God's judgment on us and seeing what's going on in our country. It troubles me. What goes on with our children? What goes on in our religion? What goes on in our economy? I am very concerned. What goes on in the education system? I'm very concerned about them. Whenever a nation is going to be taken over by people that don't even have citizenship, we're in a dangerous place. That's the wrath of God. And you know what folks do? Sit around twiddling their thumbs while, like Nero, he's fiddling while Rome's burning. That's where we're at. And that's, you know, so the wrath of God, it comes on people in different ways. And then look what it says. But now he's talking particularly here about the Jews. It said, these people, when they're compassed about, they shall fall by the edge of the sword. And they did. They went in over there and slew every Jew they could get their hands on. Slew every single one of them. Women, children, boys, girls, babies. And then led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem, watch this, should be trodden down of the Gentiles. Gentiles walk all over it. Walk all over it. And watch this now. Until the giant times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Just like the Jews had a time, had a dispensation, us Gentiles, there'll be a time. There'll be a time. God gave the Gentiles a dispensation of the gospel. A dispensation of Christ. A dispensation of grace. And when the Gentiles' time is fulfilled, And the last Gentile's converted, and all things has happened. That's when our Lord's coming back. Look what He says. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. These are figurative things. Signs in the heavens. Signs in the sun. Where the brightness is. The moon, the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexities. Things are going to get so bad, people are going to be perplexed. What are we going to do? How are we going to solve the problems? How are we going to feed the nations? How are we going to save the nations? How are we going to save these people? Save that and keep them from killing here and keep them from distress. And the seas and the waves, Lord, that means it gets so bad. The sea and the waves, that means how can you control the sea and the waves? It can't be done. So it'll get so bad that they can't control it. And then men's hearts will fail them for fear. For fear. How are we going to live? How are we going to make it? And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, they're just watching, 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 get so involved in things that their heart gets stirred up, their heart begins to fail, and they get weak, and they get trembly, and their hearts fail for fear, not fear of God, but fear of what's coming on the world. And the powers of heaven, the powers of the earth, the powers of the people that be shall be shaken. Then shall these lead the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Oh my, it's going to be terrible days right before Christ comes. You know, they'll say peace and safety, and then sudden destruction shall come upon them. And watch what He says now. And this is a time of terror for them, but it's a time of blessed hope for us. And when these things begin to come to pass, when everybody else is stirred up and thinking, oh, there's no hope for the world, us, or nobody else, then when you see these things, lift up your heads. Your redemption is right here. We're getting ready to leave this place. And then He gave them a parable. He spoke a parable. It's a blessed hope for us. Oh, it's terrible to them. It's a blessed hope for us. You know, the worse it gets, the closer we get to the end. Ain't that right? That's the way I look at it. I'm not, by God's grace, my heart's not going to be troubled. He spake to them a parable. He said, look at the fig tree. And look at all the trees. And pretty soon this is what's going to happen to us in just a little over a month. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own self that summer's now not in. They're starting to put out. Starting to sprout leaves. Starting to turn green. He says, when you see that, you yourself are, well, boy, it ain't going to be no time at all. Summer's going to be here. It's spring now. It's going to be summer. He says, so likewise, just like you know that, summer's nigh, but how them trees put out. When you see these things come to pass, and all we see them coming to pass all the way around us, everywhere we look, everywhere we look. You know what happened last Sunday at the Super Bowl? I heard a fellow talking. He said he preached his message wearing a Patriots jersey. Got up in the pulpit and going to preach a message. Now you think, that troubles me more than anything. That troubles me that people do that, and that they glory in what should be their shame. Huh? And also, you see these things. We see these things coming to pass. We see the political world, we see the corrupt world, we see the religious world, we see the economic world, and they keep saying doom, 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 but if you have helped me, I'll help you, and all that. We see all that. Know then that the kingdom of God's right at our hand. It's right at us. Huh? And look what our Lord said, and I'm telling you that this generation, what generation? The Jewish generation, Jewish people, shall not pass away until all be fulfilled. Now watch this. And what a blessed, blessed thing. This gives us such glorious hope right here. Such glorious hope. Heaven and earth shall pass away. And they are. He didn't say they might pass away. He said they shall pass away. A new heaven, new earth is coming. But he said, guess what? My word won't. My word will not. This is your foundation. This is your hope. This is your strength. This is your stay. And that was always their stay, the believer's stay, when they were in trouble. And then he gives us a final warning. Observe the events in your times. Observe them. See what's going on. And take heed to yourselves. During this time, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Lest you be taken up with the world. Lest you be taken up with carelessness like the world around you. Drunkenness. And get taken up with the cares of this life. So that that day come upon you unaware. What he's saying is you watch for these signs. You watch for the indications. You watch what's going on around you. Become conscious of them. And don't do like they do. And that day will come up for us. A snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. People have always said the world was went on and on and on. It's going to go on and on and on. I heard Jesus coming all my life. And he ain't got here yet. Well, he will come. You just mark her down. He will come. He came the first time. Now watch this. And it'll come on them just like that. And it'll be like a snare. They're going along, you know. I used to put out rabbit traps. And I'd have them little old rabbits. Boy, I'd go around my rabbit trap and be a rabbit in every one of them. A snare. And that's what he says. This world's going along. And I said, I've got this snare. And then one day I just pull a snare. And they all caught in that snare. That's what God said. What's going to happen to this? What's going to come on the face of all of them on the face of the earth? So here, listen to what he tells us as believers. Watch you therefore and pray. Watch yourself. Watch what goes on. Watch your heart. Watch out for one another and pray always. Pray always. That God may bless you to escape all these things that shall come to pass. Lord, take us out of here before this whole world turns into the devil. This whole world turns into hell itself. Pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Be accepted of Christ. Be there. Come. You know what he's saying is pray that God will take you out and bring you to stand before Christ. I don't want to see the world getting any worse shape than sin. But I'm afraid it will, don't you? Some of you folks, you're getting older and you're going to get out of this mess. You're going to get out of this mess. And I envy you. I envy you. I've got to stay here. Some of us young, we've got to stay here a long time for the prison. I hope that's a blessing to you. So much to say in so little time. And I couldn't begin to touch on all things that needs to be.